Hello, you're listening to Collision Chat. I am your host, Daniel, as on the show this week, we're going to be talking everything about week 6 of AEW Collision. We're going to touch on the Ring of Honor pay-per-view from this past weekend, as well as slightly going over the Blood and Guts match. How's everyone doing? Oh, it's been a long weekend. So on the weekend, this weekend just gone, it's been a bit of a tight squeeze trying to get everything in. I'm going to be honest with you, I've completely given up on the G1. Got about 3 days in, I thought, you know what, there's too much going on with AEW. I mean, I'd say there's too much going on with WWE, because WWE is pretty decent at the moment, but I'm struggling to even get that in, if I'm being totally honest. Still want to see the Roman Reigns segment from SmackDown, but on Saturday we had our gender reveal. Expecting my third baby. Yeah, it's a boy. Buzzing, thank God. We're going to call it Preston, after the greatest football team on earth, Preston North End. But yeah, that was good. That was interesting this weekend. So yeah, obviously, a little bit rough on Sunday. I had a bit to drink, so didn't actually get to watch Collision until last night. So that is why the show is being, well, uploaded Tuesday instead of Monday. But yeah, briefly, we're going to touch on... Actually, I tell you what, another thing I want to go on about, right? Listen to this, right? My roof at my flat that I live in, yeah, the other week, just completely caves through, yeah? Asked to move out this weekend of my gender reveal, and asked to be moved out. So we're trying to get everything out of the flat, because we're moving into a house in a couple of weeks, but it's not quite ready yet, so having to live with the parents for the next couple of weeks. But yeah, so we're going to get into everything. We're going to talk about the episode of Collision from New Jersey this week. I've seen quite a few negatives on the show, and obviously I'd stayed offline really until I watched Collision, because I didn't want to have any spoilers for Ring of Honor or Collision. But I don't know, I've seen like a few like negative opinions of the show. I thought the show was great, going to be honest with you. I mean, I know like the theme of the podcast is Collision, but I'm going to be the first to tell you, if I thought it was shit, I would tell you it was shit. But I thought it was a good show, but we'll get into Collision in a little while. I just wanted to start by talking about the Blood and Guts match from Dynamite this past week, the third annual Blood and Guts, was it the third one? They did the one where Chris Jericho fell off. Yeah, I think it was the third one. Obviously, they was meant to do one in 2020 between the Inner Circle and the Elite, but that got cancelled because of COVID, and then they ended up doing the whole Stadium Stampede match, didn't they? But yeah, the Blood and Guts match from last week. I mean, look, starting Dynamite from last week. The match itself, yeah, it went 55 minutes, yeah. And on Collision the week before, we had a 55-minute match between Juice, Jay White against FTR. And that match was, like, universally praised. I didn't think it was good as some people thought, but it was a great match. I mean, one of the best TV matches you're going to see. I know people have been coining it the best tag team match in North American history, maybe. Maybe. I can't really think of one off the top of my head better. But the thing about that match is it didn't drag. There was times in this Blood and Guts match where I just thought, like, the FTR match, they're fighting for the tag team titles, aren't they? Yeah? What are you actually fighting for in a Blood and Guts match? And not to win the feud, yeah? But I wasn't invested in the feud to begin with, if I'm being honest. I think it's been... I mean, last year we did the whole Combat Club against... I can't even remember the first... It seems that long ago. The match, Anarchy in the Arena from last year, yeah? And it was new, it was fresh. Whereas this time, it just felt a bit like, right, Double or Nothing's coming. We need to get the Anarchy in the Arena match. We need to get the Blood and Guts match. So they started the Elite versus Blackpool Combat feud. And if you remember, that feud stemmed from the John Moxley Hangman Page feud, where that had been going on for like 5 to 6 months on and off. And it had a definitive ending with Hangman Page going over Moxley. And you're thinking, right, Hangman Page, let's push him towards the title, push him towards MJF. But what they did, they let it stem over into a feud with the Elite. And at the time, people were like, why is Hangman Page still feuding with Moxley? And our answer was because he was going to reunite with the Elite. And for years, we'd been like told there was going to be this big moment. I think Meltzer had worried on about it for ages. There was going to be this big moment, reuniting of the Elite, ending the story, a couple of years story, and it was going to be this big, huge moment that we all spoke about for years. And, well, can you even really remember the segment? Some of you might be able to, but I don't know, it was just another segment, weren't it? It wasn't like the big thing that everyone thought it was going to be. So I wasn't invested in the feud to begin with that much. I mean, and the match itself, it was all right, weren't it? It was good, but I wouldn't say it was like great or anything. There was a lot. I mean, a 55-minute plunder match is I don't know. It was good. I went 3.5 stars on it, but is it actually what? Do you know what I mean? Is it like the classic? My Meltzer went 4.75 stars on it, and that's just, I know his scale's like off the chart at the moment. That's just a little bit ridiculous. Obviously, I mean, they went on top of the cell or whatever, top of the cage, and there was that actually any need to do that? Like on the spot on top of the cage, just what actually happened from it? Like one of the Jacksons did that. Was it probably Matt Jackson did a Northern Light suplex? They sprinkled a few like thumbtacks or drawing pins, as we call it in the UK, down. It was just like, what? Do you know what I mean? You're going, if you're gonna like show that you can break, the whole point of these matches is to keep people contained inside the cage, yeah. And if you're gonna do that, you're gonna, do you know what I mean, ruin the like the whole aura of the match. You want a huge spotlight when, say, Sammy fell off the cage. Instead, to do that just for this was just, nah, just, I don't know, just went bad. I feel like the whole fuse just felt a little bit forced. Like, did we really need, I don't know, like, it's just like WWE type, where it's like, oh, it's February, let's have an Elimination Chamber. Oh, it's November, let's have a Survivor Series match. Like, is that going to be what's happening with AEW? Oh, we're in, like, June. July. We need a Blood and Guts match to blow off the Stadium Stampede Anarchy in the Arena feud. And I'll be honest with you, I'm just done with these, like, whole, like, stable feuds that seem to just, like, go on all the time in AEW. Tony Khan loves a stable. I get that it's good that, like, people have friends and stuff, so they can come out and make saves, but do we really need it all the time? So, yeah, obviously, the match would have been better, I think, if Eddie Kingston would have been in it, because elephant in the room, Kota Ibushi was just not his usual self, was he? I mean, he came out, he's usually like, do you know what I mean? He looks like he's not even human, the shape that he's in. Obviously, everyone's allowed to let themselves go, and I've done that a couple of times myself, but like, it just didn't look like the Kota Ibushi that we used to see. I think the last proper Kota Ibushi match I actually watched, because he's not wrestled in like, what, 2 years properly, except a couple of GCW shows and maybe a match at WrestleMania weekend, was the classic match at Wrestle Kingdom against Jay White. I think, well, they had one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. It was in front of like one of the dead crowds as well, so that was even more impressive. But just didn't look, he just looked a shell of his former self. Like, his punches didn't look like they was like making proper contact. Like, he missed a couple of kicks with Kenny. I don't know, it was just a complete anti-climax. I thought when Ibushi actually finally appeared in AEW, teamed up with Kenny after all these years, it would be a bigger moment. It just didn't feel, it wasn't the right environment to bring him in, I don't think. And it would have actually been better if Kingston maybe would have been somewhat involved in this match instead of Ibushi, and we could have had, I don't know. But yeah, Blood and Guts match. I mean, it drew a big rating, so obviously other people were into it. But for me, it just wasn't. Nah, just wasn't. Didn't do it for me. Did not do it for me. But as I say, it drew a big rating, so fully expect Blood and Guts to be back next year. Maybe even as a pay-per-view. Because if you didn't know, nice segue, Tony Khan got asked by Dave Meltzer if AEW were going to go to 12 pay-per-views a year, as rumoured. And Khan basically said, as I alluded to on last week's show, no wrestling company has ever done worse by extending their pay-per-view schedule. I mean, to me, I think AEW do need, especially with Collision now, they do need at least 8 pay-per-views a year. I think you need a pay-per-view every 6 weeks, really, to be honest with you. Especially, like, it's all well and good saying, oh yeah, but it gives them months to build up the feuds. But they don't actually do that. What happens is you get, let's face it, how many times have we had like 6 to 8 weeks of TV where they just build to the next week, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my god, we've got a pay-per-view in 3 weeks, and there's no matches announced for it. So it's not even like they use the time that they have to build up. Like, you can't really name, like, Dynamite has like great wrestling, yeah, most of the time. You can't really name like the great classic feuds that AEW have had. You can count them on one hand, pretty much. Do you know what I mean? You might have, say, the Inner Circle, the Elite, that we spoke about before, CM Punk, MJF, pretty much anything CM Punk was involved in AEW. The Punk Moxley stuff last summer was pretty good, but apart from that, you might have great matches, but you don't seem to have great feuds. So I think to keep Tony Khan in order, you do need a pay-per-view every 6 weeks, and it can only be a benefit. But yeah, because when you have 4 pay-per-views a year, maybe 5 with Forbidden Door, like if it doesn't deliver, like Double or Nothing this year didn't deliver, then you're like, fucking hell, I've just waited 3 months for that pay-per-view, and it was shit, and I've got another 3 months to wait. So, yeah. I do think AEW do need more pay-per-views, and hopefully that announcement will come soon. Right, before we get into Collision, we are going to quickly talk about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view from this past Friday night, Death Before Dishonor. Now, speaking of this, like, Ring of Honor have had, well, what was their last pay-per-view? Would it have been Supercard on WrestleMania weekend? It probably would have been. So they've had 3 or 4 months, yeah, to build up this show. Maybe they've had another. I don't think they've had another one, have they? So they've had months to build this up. And a week before the show, we had one match announced. And that match actually fell through because Mark Briscoe was injured. So literally there was nothing. I mean, I've not been watching Ring of Honor TV because I've not had a reason to. I used to watch Ring of Honor like extensively from like 2005 to about 2007. So if the product was good, I would watch it. But, you know what I mean? It's just an expansion of like dark elevation. So yeah, the pay-per-views, however, always seem to have delivered. Obviously, you had the Briscoes FDR stuff. I think you had Chris Jericho Cesaro feuding on one of them. So the pay-per-views have always delivered. But the build is just non-existent. There's no excuse. They've got hours worth of TV to build this stuff up. And they need to take a leaf out of Collision. Well, he needs to take a leaf out of how he books Collision, where he has a group of core guys and he just builds forward with them. But yeah, it just seems like, I don't know, it's just thrown together stuff. It's just basically dark elevation, but with like a pay-per-view at the end of it with next to no build. Hopefully that changed, because pay-per-view was actually, I mean, I only watched three matches from it, and I thought the tag team title match where Aussie Open won, don't get me wrong, I don't really want Aussie Open to be on Ring of Honor. I think they should be on the main roster, but Aussie Open won the tag team title, and it was a good four-way match. I mean, you're never going to get like a classic four-way tag match, are you? But it was a good match, you know what I mean? Spotfest, Aussie Open did get the win, so that was good. We got Dark Order versus Stu Grayson, Vincent, I can't even think of the other guy's name, in like a six-man fight without honor match. That was, I'll be honest with you, this might be controversial, yeah? This match, I enjoyed more than Blood and Guts. I don't care if you had Omega, Moxley, The Bucks, Hangman, loads of great wrestlers in it. This match was better. Do you know why? Because it didn't go 55 minutes for like a plunder match, a weapons match. I don't need it to go 55 minutes. I know you have to with Blood and Guts, but for Blood and Guts matches, there's no point in watching it until everyone's even in the ring. So for me, I don't know, the War Games, the Blood and Guts matches, they're just not for me. Like, you watch 25 minutes for no reason, pretty much. But yeah, this match, I think it probably went about 16, 17 minutes, but it was non-stop. The action was like great. There was like stuff flying about everywhere. I mean, people might not like tacks and Legos and all that sort of stuff, but I thought this was great. I mean, I've listened to people say, oh, you didn't need this match after Blood and Guts match. Why not? Why can't you have two violent matches in the same week? Do you know what I mean? Yeah, if you had like a pure wrestling match, that'd be fine, but why can't you? So yeah, this match, I say, I enjoyed more than Blood and Guts. Partially because it didn't go on so long. The main event is what everyone's talking about from the show, and rightly so. Athena versus Willow Nightingale, and for me, I'm going to put this out there. It was definitely the best women's match in Ring of Honor history, because Ring of Honor's women division has been absolutely shite. I mean, the one thing negative I will say about this match, I'm not quite sure why you're paying tribute to all the previous women's Ring of Honor wrestlers, because let's be honest, they've all pretty much been shite, yeah? But this match, Athena Willow Nightingale, best match in Ring of Honor history. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say this was the best women's match in AEW history. Because people will go back to that Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa match. Now, I've not gone back and watched it. That was another like hardcore match. I reckon if you went back and watched it with today's eyes, would it hold up? Like, at the time, we was all desperate for a match we could cling on to being great, because you had no fans in the audience, or if you did, there was only a couple of hundred at Daly's place. So we was all just grateful to enjoy something. I know Meltzer, so sick of actually keep alluding to him, but he gave 5 stars for that match. I think at the time, I probably was about 4.5 or something. But if you went back and watched it now, would it hold up? I'm probably saying no. But this match, the wrestling was non-stop for about just below 20 minutes. The crowd, after watching like what a 3-hour show, we're on the edge of the seat, something that usually doesn't happen with, I'm going to call it an AEW pay-per-views. Look at Okada Danielson, yeah? The crowd were dead for that match. None of that here, none of that for this match. Athena Nightingale got the crowd into it. and you've got to give him every credit in the world for that. And Athena retained. I went 4.25 on this, but I would have gotten 4.5 if Willa Nightingale would have won. But they were just fantastic match. Some of the spots they were doing into the steps were great. The kickouts at the end, I mean, the crowd got absolutely crazy when Willow kicks out of Athena's finisher. But in the end, Willow is forced to give up, and Athena actually looks like a killer by retaining the title. For me, run this back, run it back at All In. Give us this match at All In. Give Willow the title at All In. Do you know what I mean? Because I guarantee you, it's going to be better than whatever we get from Toni Storm and Paige. I mean, Toni Storm's good, yeah? But when was the last time there was a great AEW women's match? You might get a 3.5-star match if we're lucky or something. I know Jamie Hayter's good, but they never did anything with her when she was champion, really. She was just in the background to Britt Baker. When was Britt Baker's last great match? Put these two on the main roster. My main roster sounds like I'm talking about WWE. And push them as your two top women. But yeah, great match, 4.25. I feel like I've even gotten low on that. I think this will be in my top 10 for matches of the year at the end of the year. But yeah, great match from the women, and yeah, it was, as I say, I only watched 3 matches, so I can't comment on the full show, but from what I've heard, the other matches were decent. So if you get, I don't know, a crazy spot fest, which the tag team title match was, crazy hardcore match, which the fight with that honor match was, and then this great main event, do you know what I mean? You can't really go wrong with that. Right, anyway, we're going to get into Collision now. As we spoke about Ring of Honor, we've spoke about the Blood and Guts match. I did want to talk about the Cole MJF feud, but maybe we'll get into that either next week or in this review of Collision. So we're going to start by talking about last week's rating that Collision got. Collision last week got 579,000 viewers with a rating in the 18 to 49 of 0.2. Now, as long as they're not going below 0.2, I don't really think there's a problem. So, yeah, that's decent. 579,000, obviously, do you know what I mean? It's not doing anywhere near what Dynamite does. It's even below NXT. But for a Saturday, do you know what I mean? I'm one of Punk's biggest fans. I ain't going to be staying in watching this on a Saturday night. People have kids. People have lives. They don't want to be sat. I'm getting, even like in the States, I'm guessing at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, you don't want to be sat watching wrestling on your Saturday. Maybe at night over here, it's all right. But yeah, when everyone's in bed, you can watch it, I guess. But hey, right. So yeah, the rating was fine. It held up pretty much previous of what it's previously been doing. Now, the show itself here was in New Jersey. I've had a lot of people criticise the New Jersey crowd, but the New Jersey crowd, like, got a lot here. I mean, Punk was going off on him. Someone else was going off him later on in the show. But, yeah, so the show starts. Ricky Starks opens up the show to celebrate his win in the Owen Hart tournament last week. I mean, the thing was, was he going to be a heel? Was he going to be a face? Obviously, he cheated. He used the ropes to win last week. So it was curious what he came out to. He came out to an absolute huge pop from this crowd. Loads of pyro and stuff. He comes out with an attitude. You know what I mean? He's talking about his bag. He's saying that he isn't a four pillar and stuff like that. But the crowd are eating it up. And then we get Punk coming out to absolutely plenty of boos. He comes out yet again to no music, which I'm not sure why he does that. I mean, maybe he's saving the pop he gets with his music to later on in the show. But I don't know. Like, if you maybe want to hide a few of the boos when you're coming out, which clearly they don't, because they play the music, wouldn't they? But they don't. They want the boos to be heard. But yeah, I mean, Punk goes on. He says that he's proud of Ricky and that he can take the L, but can Ricky take the win? Now, what I did like about this promo, they teased about the bag. Do you know what I mean? If you remember on that first week, Punk came out of a bag and we never actually found out what was in the bag. So Starks brings out a bag and he's like, there's nothing in this bag, it just cost me loads of money, so I wanted to bring it out. Obviously a heel tactic there, but basically Punk says that Starks wants what's in the bag and that he's the real champ and not MJF. So I'm curious where they're going to go with this. I mean, obviously we're going to talk about All In at some point. There's no matches announced for All In yet, and the big thing is, what do you do with the title picture at All In? Like, everyone just assumed it's going to be Cole v MJF, which I would like to see now. I didn't think that at first, but I'm going to talk extensively about this next week because Cole and MJF are on the show on Collision next week against FTR for the tag titles. But this is so over. It's drawing. It's the most interesting thing. Whether what people do say, like, oh, the dance stuff, all that sort of stuff, it's not what they watch AEW for. Bollocks. This is fucking great stuff. You know what I mean? They're so over. like the most over thing on the show by a mile, and they need to keep this going. Do they? I mean, do you blow it off? Seems a bit short to blow it off at Wembley because it's that over. Do you run with it? Like, I don't know. I mean, or do you have a lot of people? Are you just waiting, aren't you, for MJF to turn heel on Cole, which I don't want to see. If they do it, I want it to be Cole and Undisputed turning on MJF. Cole can reform Undisputed, and then you can have MJF winning as the babyface at All In. But maybe what we'll do, they could always go with, I mean, if they do Punk MJF, people saying they'll save it for All Out in Chicago the week after. But you could have Punk MJF, yeah? Punk as the heel, MJF as the face at Wembley, which I'm sure is what it would end up like. And then you can have, say, Punk beating MJF for the title, yeah? So then Punk's going into Chicago to defend the title. Who can his opponent be? I hope you're all like answering this question for me. It can be Ricky Starks, because that's who he's feuding with. And obviously, Starks is playing the heel role. Punk is playing the babyface role, even though he's getting booed. But in Chicago, Punk is going to get cheered and Starks is going to get booed. And that match is set up for you. So you can do Punk MJF All In and Punk versus Starks All Out. And then we can actually get a proper Punk MJF feud, stemming months leading into like the Full Gear and so on, with Punk as the heel, MJF as the face, which is the way I think, that's the way I think it should go. But then obviously you've got the spinal weights of the Cole stuff. Like, if MJF faces Cole can't win the belt, I don't think, but we'll see. I mean, I'd sooner just keep MJF and Cole together, let MJF have the feud with Punk, and then we can do MJF and Cole when this act isn't as over as it is now, which will happen, and when you'll notice that, that's when you can do the turn. But we'll see this anyway. Back to Collision. I kind of went off on a tangent there. But yeah, this was a light segment. I've heard it had a lot of criticism, but I thought it was fine. We had Punk and Starks going back and forth. We got Luchasaurus and Christian out. Christian comes out with a line whilst he's carrying Luchasaurus's TNT title belt of what sort of man walks around with a belt they didn't win. This was a great line, because obviously that is what Christian is doing. Then we get Darby Allin out, who I actually didn't watch Rampage, but apparently he's won the TNT Battle Royal, so will be facing, who even is the TNT champion? Obviously Luchasaurus. Luchasaurus versus Darby Allin at All Out. So confusing with the All In, All Out thing, boy. So yeah, Darby refers to Punk as his good friend, which gets booed from this crowd in New Jersey who hate CM Punk. But basically Darby and Punk challenge Starks and Christian for later on the night, and that match is signed. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, we don't want a promo, a Raw type promo to open the show. Listen, right, there was a wrestling match to end the show last week, yeah, with a bit of a screwy finish, yeah? So the first thing that you want to see on the next week's show is the follow-up to that match, yeah? If this was Dynamite, we'd be getting Orange Cassidy, who has good matches defending his title. He'd be defending his title in a pointless match, and we might hear a 20-second backstage segment from Ricky Starks or something, and Punk. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't need a random match to start the show when something huge has happened the week before in a match to end the show. So yeah, maybe Collision's just more for me than Dynamite. So yeah, Andrade gets kicked out of the building. That's a backstage segment that happens next, which will build to the Buddy Murphy ladder match for next week. Next week, Buddy Murphy versus Andrade in a ladder match, with Andrade's mask on the line. I mean, if you've listened to the podcast for a number of years, you know that I think that wrestling companies overuse the ladder match, and that is no surprise that they're doing that here. I wish they made the ladder match more special, but at least it'll be a good match, won't it, I suppose. I'm sure they'll do some crazy shit. Next, we get Dante Martin. No, it's not Dante Martin, is it? I can't even think what's his brother called. Anyway, against Action Andretti, teaming up with one of them, one of Top Flight, against Jay White and Juice Robinson. Now, the match goes around 10 minutes. It was a good match, but would you say that White and Robinson need to go this long with, like, Andretti? They should just come out and dominantly win. I've heard that argument, but you need to fill a two-hour show. And in the end of the 10 minutes, it's a convincing win for Jay White, who gets the pin. The camera actually missed the Blade Runner somehow, but yeah. Like, what I like about this is, again, people like saying, oh, nothing happened except the opening segment, the main event. No, this is what you need to do in television, yeah? Jay White and Juice Robinson lost a huge match last week, right? As I say, if this was Dynamite, what would happen? They'd disappear for 3 weeks, and then they'd randomly come back, have a match, and it'd all be forgotten about. But no, they keep them fresh in our minds. And the first match after Collision last week is Jay White and Juice Robinson getting a strong, dominant win. because they're essential characters on this show. If this was Dynamite, they would just leave it and they'd disappear for 3 weeks. You'd be like, what happened to them? So yeah, this is perfect and it needed to be done and it did. Now, Jace White and Juice Robinson get the heat back from losing that match last week. Next, we get Miro beating Nick Camarado in like a 3 or 4 minute match. They go back and forth a little bit. Miro is so over. The crowd is so into him when they shout the game over stuff with him. It was so loud. I mean, I wish they'd find him a feud. I mean, I know a lot of the stories were that he didn't actually want to lose a match or whatever. But, Mitch, put him in a feud. He's so over. What does he actually have to do to get this monster push? He's been over since 2013, 2014. Do you know what I mean? All the Rusev Day stuff. He was over as a heel. WWE chopped his legs from underneath him. I don't know what happened. I know he got an injury about a year ago in AEW. But just push this guy to the top of this card. Give him a good feud. I mean, I'd like to see Miro versus Jay White. I think that would be good. Babyface Miro. Well, not babyface. You know what I mean? The crowd are going to get behind him against Jay White. I think we could get some decent stuff from those two. We get an FTR video package showing they're running AEW. I'm not going to complain about this. You watch this and you think, yeah, FTR, one of the greatest tag team champions in the world, which they are. And yeah, just a nice little thing. Yeah, again, I know I keep saying this. I don't hate Dynamite or anything. I like Dynamite, but this show is different to Dynamite because we probably wouldn't get stuff like this. Middle of the show, we get House of Black versus The Acclaimed, a rematch from Double or Nothing. Now, this match, disappointing at Double or Nothing. I'd say disappointed here, but I think this was more to like tell a story. The match probably went about, what, 6-7 minutes or something. One of the most notable things from it was Buddy Murphy kneeing Max Caster during the entrance. The match was fast-paced. It was good. The Acclaimed was so over, and I was thinking, I'm sure like one of them were actually from this area. So I thought, I wonder if they're going to put the belts on them. But no, this was over quick. Alistair Black, flipping out, what am I going on about? Malakai Black kicks Billy Gunn in the face, and as easy as that, 1-2-3. I mean, I don't really know. I don't want to get into what they've done with the Acclaimed the last 8 or 9 months. I feel like they chopped their legs from underneath them a bit. They were like the top team, weren't they? And then they just, I don't know, they just really like cooled them off a little bit. But yeah, it was a decent match. It wasn't great or anything. But the whole thing was story driven, and it was to make it look like Billy Gunn is going to retire. He takes his boots off. The newer crowd are into it. They're all chanting, "You still got it," and stuff like that. He leaves his boots in the ring as the Acclaimed look shocked. And yeah, nice story going forward, which is, yeah, another enjoyable segment. It wasn't like the classic match you wanted, but it continued the story. Now, the one thing on the show that I didn't think was that good was FTR. We had Tony Schiavone in the ring again, because he opened up with Ricky Starks. So I'm not sure if we needed that again, but I don't know, FTR did a promo on Adam Cole and MJF. I'm not sure if it was, they needed to do something, yeah? A positive was it was in the ring. I do like people in the ring with microphones talking, not just loads of backstage segments. But, like, the crowd, you don't want to go out there in front of a New York crowd when MJF is as over as he is at the moment and Adam Cole is as over as he is at the moment and completely say you're going to beat these two, and he basically goes on about how they're making a mockery of the tag division where all the dancing stuff, and it would be okay to do this if FTR were heels, but the baby faces, and obviously I think Dax Harwood has real life heat with MJF unless he was just working on his podcast through the whole Pinnacle stuff. But yeah, the promo just didn't really hit. I mean, I'm glad they did something to build the match for next week, and MJF and Adam Cole are going to reply to this on Dynamite this week, which will be interesting to see. But I just don't think it was wise sending them out there having a promo where they're basically slagging off Cole and MJF. But next week is going to be, I'm really excited for that match. So curious what they do. I think we're going to know our main event for All In after Collision next week. Man, do you know, part of me thinks, put the belts on Adam, just go with it. Put the tag belts on Adam Cole and MJF, but then they'll say, well, Adam Cole and MJF aren't going to be able to defend him at All In. But you could just do Adam Cole, MJF, Punk beats MJF at All In, and then you can have Adam Cole and MJF defend the tag belts at All Out or something like that, I don't know. But yeah, just go with it. Because if you do want it, the belt is ready to come off MJF. I think he's had it for like 9 months or something. You've got something ready-made for him to go into with this thing with Adam Cole. And then he can chase Punk maybe as a babyface. He can have his title win as a babyface. Punk can drop a title to MJF at like Full Gear or Revolution or wherever next year. And you can have the big MJF face title run. Because the heel title run, it's been good. We've got had some memorable promos from him. But has it really delivered? He had the classic match with Bryan Danielson, but do you know what I mean? The Fatal 4-Way or whatever it was at Double or Nothing was, yeah, the feud was awful. The match was okay, I guess. But yeah, that's it. This promo didn't hit. The crowd are getting on the back of FTR, which wasn't really the best. The one not through, they will do. They actually mentioned that they were going to beat the Young Bucks, and they got booed out of the building. So yeah, even though this crowd seems to not like CM Punk, the Young Bucks are heels on Collision. And I just can't wait for the day where we get the FTR, Young Bucks, Punk, and Elite stuff, which will, as we've said from the first episode of Collision Chat, this stuff will happen. Next, we get Taya Valkyrie defeating Sky Blue. I see people saying bad stuff about this match. I mean, I think Taya Valkyrie's shit, but Sky Blue's alright. But yeah, this match was fine, weren't it? Taya Valkyrie had a nice sliding suplex, and Taya made Sky Blue tap. I mean, don't get me wrong, after what I saw from the Ring of Honor women, put Athena in this spot. Athena should be the top woman on Collision. Yeah, get Nightingale on it as well. We don't really need this stuff, but the match was fine. The promo was all right. She challenges Britt Baker to a match on Dynamite next week. So, yeah, we are getting stuff building on Dynamite for Collision and vice versa, which is interesting. And they go through next week's matches, which the show is actually looking quite good. Buddy Matthews versus Andrade in a ladder match with Andrade's mask above the ring. We've got Juice Robinson and the Guns versus Vikingo, Andre, and I've got Martin in my nose, but is it even Danny Martin? No, it's not, because he's out injured. But yeah, it made me laugh when Ian Riccoboni referred to this as a dream tag team match. Not sure. I like his enthusiasm. I'm not sure if I'd go quite that far, but it'll be decent. And then in the main event, it's going to be FTR defending those tag titles against Cole and MJF. And we are going to find out exactly what happens. That match is so eagerly anticipated, and it's going to play such a pivotal role in the card that we get for All In and All Out. Now, on to our main event, CM Punk and Darby Allin versus Ricky Starks and Christian. People complaining again, this match, why is it going 25 minutes? I don't need a 25-minute tag match. Why not? It was fine. It was, you know, it was better than fine. It was a very, very good match. I went 4 stars on the match. Like, the reaction to Punk brings all these matches up. I mean, they booed him out of the building for the first segment, but here it was more 50-50 with dueling CM Punk chance and Ricky chance. But yeah, I thought this match was really good. Punk and Starks worked quite well together. I thought this week, Christian is obviously always going to be good, and Darby Allin, and they gave the match a different dynamic. We had some spots with Punk toying with the crowd. I mean, he had a go at New Jersey earlier on, and I just like, does he need to be healed? Does he need to be faced at the moment? No, he's just going with it. He's going out there and playing by ear what he needs to do and what he needs to say. I'll tell you what impressed me. Darby Allin and Starks work really, really well together. And I think after Starks is done with Punk, maybe going forward, have a Darby Allin versus Starks feud, because they worked really well together. The match concludes when, I mean, Punk GTS is Chris. Hits the GTS on Christian outside, and we get Luchasaurus pushing Allin off the top. He counters the roll up to Starks, but Starks reversed it, holds the ropes and gets the win. Before that, we had Starks. I think Allin kicked out Starks' finisher, but yeah, Punk pushes Starks off the ring, but the show ends with Starks getting the win again, and a win for a key character that they're pushing, and the Punk Starks feud goes on. I thought it was great booking of Starks, who is now clearly heel again, as the show goes off air with him celebrating on the top of the ramp by beating Punk and Darby Allin. And we get advertised next week's show, telling us what's happening next week, which was the one criticism from the first show. Glad they learned the lesson, and we went off air. So yeah, I've heard people say this is the worst episode of Collision. I've heard people saying the opener and the main event was the only good thing, and that more needs to happen. The building up slow. I mean, what they're building up for, you don't know, because there's not enough pay-per-views. But the building up for All In and All Out, I mean, I don't know. I thought this was my favourite episode of Collision. I'm going to be honest with you. Nice opening segment. We continued everything along nicely throughout the show, and we got a great main event. More do you want from TV wrestling? I prefer that than 45 different things happening like we get on Dynamite. Don't want to sound like I'm shitting on Dynamite again, because I do enjoy Dynamite. And Dynamite does actually have a good card this week as well. Darby Allin versus Strickland. We've got an MJF and Cole promo. I think we've got Moxley and Claudio in tag action. Hopefully, I mean, the Elite won last week, didn't they? Let's see, right? Let's see if there's Dynamite this week. Elite won the Blood and Guts match, yeah? The show should open next week, paying off this big feud with the Elite in the ring, talking about how they've won the feud and what's next for the Elite. But will that happen? Will it fuck? Well, I'll probably have Orange Cassidy and Fox open the show or something. But yeah, so I went 8 out of 10 on this show. The best Collision to date for me. I just thought it was just a very good pro wrestling show. Stuff in the middle was all decent. All the stories are going on. And yeah, one thing I will say though, what happened to the Punk and Joe feud? Like, Joe beat down Punk the other week, and I feel like we've had no follow-up to that. And I thought they might even go with Punk versus White, but hey, we'll see, we'll see. Hopefully the belt gets put on Punk and we can go with Punk and Joe and Punk and White, but maybe even that'll get Punk onto Dynamite, but who knows, who knows. So yeah, that was the show. I mean, I hope you enjoyed the show. I say we'll be back next Monday talking about the huge FTR versus Adam Cole and MJF tag team title match. 8 out of 10 for the show. And yeah, we will be back next Monday talking about the show. I hope you've all enjoyed the show. I have been your host, Daniel. You're listening to Collision Chat. Follow me on Twitter. It's at Collision Chat. Subscribe to us, Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And I will speak to you all next week. Thanks for listening, everyone.